You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, you can finally watch football games live on the internet. Some people think Caitlyn Jenner's Olympic gold medals should be taken away. And you'll need some extra facial tissue because it's Pollenpalooza. Let's meet the friends. Erin Myers is not here, so you can't meet her. I'm sorry. But Clean Livin will add at least 15 minutes to his life expectancy. Say hello to Chris Martin.
Are you going to die in the next 5 years? We'll tell you about a new test designed to help you figure that out.
And I've taken the test.
Are you going to die in the next 5 years?
We'll find out. By the way, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, they read your comments and notice your five-star reviews. All right, let's get started with you, Chris. Busy day today, a lot of stuff in the news. And this death quiz, I just finished taking it. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a new test that was launched today at a website called
UBBLE.co.uk. It's an English.
That's right. Yes. It's
British, UK website.
It's over in the United Kingdom. It's about a 5-minute test. It has 11 simple questions if you're a woman, 13 simple questions if you're a man, and it asks questions that involve your lifestyle, your family structure, medical history. You took the test, Phil. You know what it's about.
Yeah, there's one question that you'll have to kind of Americanize because they ask about financial aid or, you know, if you're getting certain programs, and they have different names for their programs than we do. So if you're getting unemployment benefits or welfare or something like that, then you'll figure out how to answer. You'll have to select one of their programs with silly names.
Right. Like, with silly names, ours aren't silly?
No, theirs are called like Fluffy Money and stuff like that.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's just silly names.
That's much sillier than WIC.
Yeah, right.
So the questions mostly revolve around weight, diet, and Actually, I wanted to say that weight, diet, and drinking are not mentioned in the test, which is interesting.
But cigarettes are.
Cigarettes are in there, yeah, your previous, any health risks that you have had.
So the Brits are okay with drinking?
They are. They're okay with drinking. They are okay with smoking also. I don't know if it takes a big chunk out of your life expectancy if you are a smoker or a drinker.
What?
Phil, I think you took the test and said it's a percentage that it gives you, right? The percentage of chance of dying in the next 5 years.
I'm 56, and it said my UBL age is 42, which I think is good because I'm younger than I actually am. After taking the survey. And it said that my 5-year risk of dying in the next 5 years, is 1%. In other words, out of 100 guys my age, my real age, not the 42, but out of 56, 100 guys 56, one of them will die. And he'll probably die, what, because he walked off a curb and got hit by a truck?
Right. It'll be some sort of freak accident, you would imagine. And that's why I said I don't know how much of a chunk smoking and drinking takes out of your life, because even a guy your age, 56 years old, if you say, I smoked a half a pack of cigarettes a day or smoke a half a pack of cigarettes a day and I eat red meat on the reg, maybe your percentage goes up to 20%.
There are two questions. 25. They ask you, do you smoke, yes or no? And I said no. And then they said they ask a follow-up question like how much smoking, or have you ever smoked? Because you could say no, that you don't smoke today, but maybe you smoked in the past. Maybe you quit.
Right.
And one of the questions is, I've tried it once or twice. Well, that's me.
Okay.
And I selected that.
Is it referring just to cigarettes?
Yes.
It is. It says, have you smoked cigarettes? Have you tried cigarettes once or twice?
And there are questions about cancer.
In your family?
In you.
Oh, okay.
And they ask if anybody close to you has died, a close family member.
Of cancer?
Just has died in general.
Huh. That's pretty vague, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Oh. Yeah.
Maybe it's a psychological thing.
It could be.
That they're trying to help.
It impacts you.
Narrow down.
When you lose a close family member, it impacts you. Maybe it shaves time off your life. Hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say what the value is of a test like this, other than maybe it will scare some people into a lifestyle change, which most, you know, just a doctor's visit will do that for most people.
Again, I say stop worrying about it. You're knocking days off your life worrying about how long you're going to live because of the things that you do in your life.
Yeah. And for you, this test was a positive, though, right?
Sure.
1%, you feel good about
yourself.
Hey,
look, I'm 42.
Time to go out and make reckless decisions.
That's right. All right. Very good. So that's Ubble. Ubble.co.uk. We should put that on the links page, shouldn't we? Yeah. Okay. We'll do that. All right. So we're now up to like 200 guys are vying for the Republican presidential candidacy.
Feels like it.
We got a new guy, the former governor of Texas, Rick Perry, announced today.
That's right. He's entered the race.
That he's been practicing for 5 years and decided that he's going to give it another go.
Yeah. Yeah, he's joined the candidacy for Republican candidate for president, and he'll be running alongside other Republican presidential candidate, Ted Cruz, who came out and apologized today for a recent joke about Vice President Joe Biden.
Ooh, at a time when Biden's son had recently died.
So. On Saturday, Bo Biden died of brain cancer, and last night at the grand old party dinner in Michigan, he was talking about Biden in his speech and said, "You know the great part about Biden? You don't even need a punchline. Honestly, you just say his name and people will start laughing."
And he apologized for that? Maybe the timing was bad because of the
summer. Timing's poor. And there were people in the listening to the speech that tweeted it out. So it ends up, just like anything else, it ends up becoming fodder for the public and mass media. And, you know, and then you question a person's character if they're willing to say something about somebody else at this time of grief.
I wonder if Bo was not ill and not dead.
You would have never heard anything about it.
Yeah.
You would have never heard a word about it. Of course not. Mudslinging and tearing each other apart is what political candidates do on the daily.
Poor timing.
Poor timing. Yeah, poor timing. It's certainly a bigger story than
if you're going to be
that Joe's 40-year-old son just died.
If you're the commander in chief, you cannot have poor timing.
That's right.
A lot of things you can do that will put the country or the planet, for that matter, in a world of hurt if you do something ill-timed.
Yeah, and you know, actually, once you make it to office, you can have some mistakes, you can have some slip-ups, but on the road there, especially in a cutthroat Republican pool of candidates that are going to step on each other's heads to get to the top, you better watch
your step. Yeah, and you don't have a cabinet member to force into resignation. It's all you.
Yes.
You own everything.
That's right.
On your way up.
Yeah, it's just all in your name.
Gotcha. All right, Ted Cruz. Apology accepted. And now, here's something. When you've probably all been to high school graduations, and I don't know how you feel about this, and I don't want to offend you because you are probably one of these people that brings one of those air horns with you and the streamers and drums and balloons, and you're blocking everybody's eyesight. They can't see the thing that's going on because you've got all the balloons, and you've got 50 people with you somehow, and every student was only allowed 4 tickets. And when your child's name is announced at the podium there, at the dais, all of you stand up, you blow your air horns, and you scream like crazy. It's disruptive, and some of us don't like it. Some of us think there should be more decorum.
I'm willing to say most of us.
At a ceremony like that. Most of us, you think so?
I would say most of us find it unnecessary.
So I shouldn't worry about who I offend then, if most of us believe that it's a sanctimonious ceremony.
Yeah. You shouldn't worry about who you're going to offend regardless, just because it's going to be a rough life if you do.
Okay.
You know, for it, dude. Let's do this.
Yeah. Will you leave the giant balloons and the air horns at home when your kid graduates? And then shut up.
Right.
Applaud.
Wah, wah, wah. We love you, Caitlin. We love you.
Caitlin.
I don't know why I chose that name.
Because every girl in high school is named Caitlin. All right. So why are we talking about this?
Well, we're talking about it because over at Senatobia High School in Northwest Mississippi.
What high school?
Senatobia. How about that? I said it twice.
How can they put that in a fight song?
They had its graduation a few weeks ago, and the program clearly said, hold your applause. It says that because the school wants to ban cheering so every kid has a fair chance to hear their name when it's called and walk up and accept their diploma.
Well, because the cheering is an arms race, right? Because the kid's going to say, well, people didn't cheer as loud for me as they did for Caitlin.
It becomes a popularity contest. You know, it's probably rough on some students' self-esteem.
Don't worry.
You give other students an overinflated sense of self.
Yes. Don't worry, Jadelyn. We will scream just as loud as Caitlin's parents, I promise.
Let's pick a different name other than Caitlin anyway.
Yeah.
Don't we have a Caitlin story coming up?
Jadelyn.
Jadelyn?
Yeah.
All right. I think that might even be a male's name, but.
Really?
How about this one? How about Lenarcia?
Lanarcia. What is that?
All right. So the program clearly says do not cheer. But when a girl named Lanarcia Walker was graduating, they called her name and her four family members that were in the audience went nuts anyway.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. They're going to do what they want to.
And they probably didn't know anyway because most people don't pay attention to instructions.
Yeah, they might not have even read the pamphlet.
Yeah.
Well, you should get the drift pretty quickly when no one else is cheering.
That's like at the theater.
And your daughter's name is Lanarcia Walker. Guarantee you she wasn't the first one to walk.
Right, right. But, I mean, do they notice the video that they show at the movies that says turn off your cell phone? Lanarcia's parents?
Probably. I would hope so. I mean, we've all seen the movie. Whether or not they pay attention to it. Look, they did this maliciously. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Oh.
But here's the thing.
Sounds like a rush to judgment to me,
Chris. The result is what's surprising. The superintendent of the school had them thrown out of the festival, ceremony,
mm-hmm.
and then went on to talk to the cops and ask if there was any legal action he could take. The cops said yes, and all four were arrested.
Wow.
And have warrants for disturbing the peace.
Mm-hmm.
They are facing criminal charges. So... the family says it's absurdly an overblown reaction, but at the same time, they knew what they were doing. They knew they were breaking the rules of the ceremony to try to celebrate Lanarcia Walker's graduation.
By the way, congratulations, Lanarcia, on your graduation. Was she the valedictorian?
Here's to you, Lanarcia. We're all going to pay attention to you, just like your family did.
Or was she the salutatorian?
Lanarcistic Walker.
Yeah. Speaking of Caitlin.
Play on words there. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a petition out there that if you sign it, you want something back from Caitlyn Jenner. I'll tell you what that is next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hey, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's a big show today. We have our tech guy coming up in the next hour. Manny the movie guy will be on. And did you know that there's at least one U.S. city named after every single planet except Uranus?
Uranus, Phil.
Is it Uranus?
Yeah. And does that mean there should not be a city named Pluto, right? Or if there is, it's not named after a planet.
There is a city called Pluto.
But it's not named after a planet.
Not anymore.
That's right. See?
It used to be named
semantics.
After a planet. Do you think maybe they protested? They were out in the streets with their pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, I think that Plutonians were pretty upset when the word came down that Pluto would no longer be a planet.
Plutonians. So here's the latest Caitlyn Jenner news. Of course, the former Bruce Jenner, who has completed, as far as we know, transformation from man to woman. Did we ever confirm that he had the organ operation?
I don't know if anybody has confirmed it. I think it's all speculation, but there's a pretty strong indication that it's happened.
I'd like to say it's none of our business, but this is such a public figure, and everything has been happening publicly that perhaps it is our business. But whether you support Jenner's desire to be a woman or not, you have to admit some seriously stupid things have been said since he came out as Caitlyn. Case in point, there's a petition on change.org to strip Caitlyn of her Olympic medals that were won when Caitlyn was Bruce.
Okay, reasons why?
The logic here is that Caitlyn has always identified as a woman, meaning that when she was an Olympian, she was a woman competing in men's sports, which is against the rules.
Excuse me. I had to sneeze there.
You know, I would have thought that they'd say, well, when the medals were won, they were won by a man and now he's a woman, and so it confuses. I don't know, but that's their logic. Anyway, as of last
night. That's terrible logic.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't think it's going to fly. But as of last night, the petition had more than 8,600 signatures.
Well, and then what is it? If it gets 50,000, it has to be recognized by the White House. But even if it does, it's just going to get thrown in the circular file. That's ridiculous.
Is change.org the White House petition website?
I believe so. I believe it is.
Yeah.
And it needs a very high number of signatures before it'll be recognized.
Yeah. Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio looks at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar like some people leaf through the Sears catalog.
Yeah, this is his own personal Rolodex.
Yeah, every once in a while when he sees something he likes, he orders it. The issue came out in March, and by April, sources say Leo was already nailing Kelly Rohrbach, 2015's Rookie of the Year. There's no word where this will leave Leo's most recent alleged girlfriend, Rihanna, who was not in Sports Illustrated.
Oh, so this, so him and Rihanna are still together. He's not gallivanting through the sports pages lately.
Well, April was just 2 months ago, and he was romantically, if we can call it that, connected with Kelly Rohrbach.
Hmm.
And we were talking about he and Rihanna back in February, were we not?
Probably. Yeah, I think that this generation of stars their age sort of has a we're just hanging out attitude about it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
no hurt feelings. We're just hanging out, having a good time.
Right, right. You know who Emma Stone is?
I do.
And Jennifer Lawrence?
Sure.
Scarlett Johansson?
I've seen at least two of those girls naked on the internet.
Gorgeous starlets.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful young women in the prime of their lives. So why does Hollywood continue to pair them up with men who are not in the prime of their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Vulture.com. Did you know they had a website called Vulture.com?
No, but it makes sense.
Broke down all these ladies' romantic pairings over the course of their movie careers, and the age differences are kind of shocking. Emma and Scarlett have never had a love interest their own age.
Hmm.
The closest Emma came was Penn Badgley in Easy A. She was 21, he was 23. At the other end of the spectrum, there was Sean Penn in Gangster Squad. He was 54. She was 24.
30, wow.
30 years difference.
That's a swing.
In Magic in the Moonlight, she was paired up with Colin Firth. He was 53. She was 25. 28-year difference. Her latest movie, Aloha, pairs her up with Bradley Cooper. Her next movie, Irrational Man, pairs her up with Joaquin Phoenix. They're both 40. She's 26.
She was in a movie called Spider-Man with a guy that looked pretty much her age, and I think it was like Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Who was that guy?
I can't remember his name. He played Spider-Man, the second generation of Spider-Man after Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
But isn't that also a reflection of reality? I mean, don't men and women usually date with an age gap between them?
I don't know that I would use...
being younger?
Maybe. I don't know that I'd use the word usually beyond 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
What do you think? Is that reasonable to say?
In Hollywood, it's probably 70% that route. But you're right. In normal society, it's
you
probably
wanna,
a
want to know about
range.
The other two actresses?
Sure.
Closest Scarlett Johansson's ever been to an on-screen lover is 4 years. It happened twice with Chris Evans in The Nanny Diaries and Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Don Juan. In Avengers Age of Ultron, she has a thing for Mark Ruffalo. In real life, he's 47. She's 30. In her previous film, Chef, she was paired with Jon Favreau. He was 29 at the time, or she was 29, right, and he was 47. When Scarlett was just 16, she hit on 46-year-old Billy Bob Thornton in The Man Who Wasn't There, 30-year difference, and Against the Law.
Mm-hmm.
In Lost in Translation, she and Bill Murray had a thing. She was 18, and he was 52. That, I believe, is the first movie I saw with her in it. 34-year thing, although that relationship stayed platonic. Jennifer Lawrence actually gets to be the elder Minx in the Hunger Games movies because she's 2 years older than Josh Hutcherson. When they made the first one, she was 21, he was 19.
Yeah, that movie's all kids.
Yeah. And she's the same age as Liam Hemsworth, who plays the other guy in that love triangle. Meanwhile, she's paired up with Bradley Cooper twice. In Silver Linings Playbook and Serena, and there's about a 16-year difference between them. Same for Christian Bale, who was her love interest in American Hustle.
Great movie.
Yeah.
good stuff. Well, you know why older women, or excuse me, older men date younger women, Phil?
Because they're hot?
That's part of it, for sure. That's part of it. But also, you know, women do mature significantly faster than men do.
Oh, you're going to go that route.
Yes. Well, it's a factual statement. They mature physically, mentally, emotionally at a record-breaking pace compared to the way us men do.
So when we're older, let's say when we're 30, we're going to seek out a woman who's 25 or 26 because we'd like for our conversation to be more or less level on a maturity basis.
Yeah, or women are ready for that at that age, and men aren't at 26. And I would say anywhere from 30 to 50, you're compatible as a male, you're compatible with a 26 to 35-year-old woman.
Hmm.
Just throwing it out there. Maybe I should start a blog.
What if you're not all that much into the conversation thing?
Then, you know, pay for it.
Hey, it's that time of the year. You know what it is. You're sneezing, stopped up, itching, watery eyes. It's pollen palooza. Well, now what would you pay? James Hubbard, Dr. James Hubbard, to you. He's the survival doctor, has been on the program four or five times, and he joins us live with some remedies for you next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, added.com, and you visit our website. That's how easy that works in this age of the internet. I'm Phil. Chris is here. Erin will be back next time, we think. She's very busy. She's a busy gal. The pollen count is up, way up right now in many parts of the country, perhaps where you are. And if you are susceptible, you're in a world of hurt right now. Swollen eyes, runny nose, headaches, etc. You know the drill. You could just suffer through it, or you could do something about it. And you are lucky, my friend. Lucky that you're listening to the program right now. Because Dr. James Hubbard, the survival doctor, is here with us. Dr. Hubbard, welcome, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me.
By the way, your books, The Survival Doctor's Guide to Wounds and The Survival Doctor's Guide to Burns, are both available and prominently displayed in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. They are staples. Staples for every home, I say, and everybody listening should order multiple copies of each and give them to their family, friends, and neighbors. Am I right, doctor?
That is correct. Thank you very much.
Always happy to help. What is it about this time of year and all of the pollen?
Well, you know, pollens happen all year long, but the spring is the worst because, you know, springtime, birds and bees, pollens, et cetera, the weeds and the trees and the grasses all start blooming and producing pollens. And, you know, others will do it other times of the year, but this is by far the most prevalent and by far the biggest problem for a lot of people. It depends what you're allergic to, though. You know, mold is another thing, but it happens most of the time of the year. But the trees, the grasses, the weeds, some are allergic to a lot of things. Some are allergic to one or two of those things.
Yeah.
And sometimes if they start off, you know, they get all together there, which they do a lot of times in the spring, it makes it a whole lot harder on a lot of people.
And there's no escaping it. But what can we do to deal with the symptoms? Over-the-counter products?
Well, there's no escaping it, but you should, you know, watch your pollen count. Try to stay in if you can, or in the air conditioning or whatever if you can during those bad times. Certainly don't be doing your heavy yard work during that time. The other thing is, try to wash your face. You just don't see some of those pollens. Wash your face, wash your hair, that sort of thing. Wash your face several times a day. Over the counter, yes. Things that we used to use have for only doctor prescriptions are there now. And antihistamines of various sorts. If you've tried one and it doesn't work, I would suggest you try another if you don't have bad side effects for it. And, you know, the ones these days, they're non-sedating. They can be sedating for some people, but you got your Claritin generics and you got your Allegra and your Zyrtec. Try one and see. Now, try one for several days before you give up on it. Oh. Some people with slight allergies, they can get by with an occasional one. I think the best thing to do is to, start early before those histamines in your body really get a hold of you and stay on it every day. Don't just take it as needed. It stays that way in your body the best, the maximum amount.
Do those remedies make you edgy?
Some, different thing, people different ways.
Yeah.
Benadryl makes some people, is the older one that makes some people really drowsy. Other people, it'll keep awake. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Some will make you itchy. Now, the decongestants really do the job on the edginess, and they're the D part of it. And they're different. They shrink your membranes in your nose and things that are swollen. Totally different. Way of acting. You can get the antihistamine without the decongestant, and that's probably the best way to start, certainly for allergies.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, out there these days is the steroid inhalers. They're over the counter now. The steroid that's in doesn't get very, very little, if any, of supposedly gets into your system. It all stays around in those membranes where you sniff it up. And but if you're going to use that, that's for sure you have to use for a week or two before it starts really working well.
Right. And then you can join a nose wrestling league and dominate. Dr. Hubbard, are there any non-medicinal treatments worth looking at?
Well, there sure are. First off, like I said, avoid it. Secondly, as soon as you get in during the day, take a shower, take those clothes off, put them somewhere where they're not scattering the pollens, and take a shower, including getting your hair, washing your hair really well. Do nasal irrigation. If you haven't tried nasal irrigation, you haven't tried everything for allergies.
Why don't you describe that for us, please?
That is just getting some sterile water or some distilled water. Get lukewarm, put it in a cup. Maybe put a little teaspoon, a fourth of a teaspoon of salt in it, and then you have to sniff it up, which really kind of sounds pretty gross and pretty hard to do, but you can get the hang of it.
Uh-huh.
You sniff it up just enough to get into your sinuses, not enough to go in the back of your throat. Now, it's easier if you had a neti pot, N-E-T-I pot. That's specifically used for that, and again, it's a little tricky, but once you get the hang of it, it just can work wonders for a lot of people, washing those pollens away.
You pour the salt water in one nostril and it comes out the other. Is that right?
Yeah.
Only if you have a deviated septum.
Well, some people, it's not going to work on very well. But that is one for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But it's going to come out somewhere. So it either drain back out of your nostril in his hand. Of course, you don't want a bunch of it draining in the back of your throat, or you'll get choked. So you try it, or
be careful.
See,
don't drown yourself. Please.
Always be careful. Don't waterboard yourself.
How about honey? I've heard some people say that certain types of honey are great for this.
A lot of people swear by honey. There's not a lot of good evidence that it works that well, but if people swear by it, and I don't see much of the harm, if any harm, in taking a teaspoon of honey a day for allergies. What the theory is these bees, they carry that pollen that's local. It's got to be local honey. It's got to be raw. The bees carry it around, and you get a little in the honey, and then it's kind of like a poor man's allergy shot. You take a little honey. It gives your body a little, just a very little bit of the pollens, and then over a period of time, your body can kind of say, okay, I'm not so worried about this particular pollen anymore. I'm not gonna go all haywire about it. That's the theory. Also, it's got some anti-inflammatory properties, honey has. So, it's a good try. Like you said, it's not some magic cure, but, it's one of the things you can do.
Is there something, Dr. Hubbard, we can do before we go outside as a preemptive strike? I mean, can we allergy-proof ourselves?
Well, you could take the antihistamine, number one. If it's really bad, you can put a scarf on, you can put a dust mask on, especially if you're going to be out in the yard doing a lot of junk like that. That's all you can do, and otherwise, other than staying during the worst time of the day and the worst pollens when they're out, and you can just check your news and your local listings to find that.
Yeah. All right. Dr. James Hubbard, the survival doctor, his books, The Survival Doctor's Guide to Wounds and The Survival Doctor's Guide to Burns, are both in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. You have a website as well, don't you, sir?
Yeah, thesurvivaldoctor.com, all spelled out, T-H-E-S-U-R-V-I-B-A-L, doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R.com. It has those. It has books. It has other books on it and videos. And it has tons of stuff about allergies and all sorts of other things on it for blog posts.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Dr. James Hubbard, thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. There he is. Now, coming up next, what is it that caused Manny the movie guy to scream like a little girl? You'll hear what it was next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back, and so are you. Thanks for that. The word escalate comes from the word escalator, not vice versa. Or as I like to say, escalator.
Or as I like to say, versa visa.
Oh, how about that? The escalator, was invented in the late 1800s. And the word escalate originated in 1922. So we haven't been saying escalate for very long, if you think about it. It hasn't even been 100 years.
Yeah, and it's a great word. You know, I've used escalate 1,000 times. It's such a good word.
Do you get that word of the day on your phone, you know, from some kind of app or dictionary.com, something like that? I do. Do you?
No, I don't.
Word power. It's useful. Because every now and then, though, you know, you get great words every day. Some of them, hey, I know that word. Now I feel smart. But most of the time, they're words that you don't know. And every now and then, there's an epic word. And today is an example of an epic word. You want to hear what it is?
Sure.
Because you can listen to the word.
Oh, yeah, I love epic words.
I can't say this one.
Flaxonophilification.
Oh, yeah, flaxonophilification.
You almost got
it. I use that word as much as I use escalate.
Try it again. Right.
Flaxonophilification.
Flaxonophilification. How about that?
Wow, say that three times fast.
Flaxonophilification.
Or even once fast.
Flaxonophilification.
It's a rare word. It's a noun. The estimation of something as valueless. However, it's encountered mainly as an example of one of the longest words in the English language.
Yeah. Remember, you used to be proud of yourself if you knew anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Yeah, there's some even longer words than that in the English language. Interesting, but most of them are medical or scientific.
Yeah,
because those guys want their own club. Here's a bunch of words that only we can say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they drink their brandy and smoke their cigars.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think an 1890s escalator looks like?
Oh. Safe?
Can you imagine?
It looks safe as heck. I'm getting on that.
Uh-huh. Let's do this.
Come on, let's go upstairs without using our feet.
It's cool. Only 7 people died last week.
Can you imagine the original idea?
Yeah.
It's like, how lazy are they? Probably the conversation, if they had talk radio in the 1800s, which they did not. The conversation around town was, how lazy are Americans where they have to have a machine to take them upstairs when they could just walk themselves up the stairs? What's next? Something that'll cook your food for you,
right?
Like a microwave
or a maid?
Yeah. what's next? Velcro?
Uh huh.
So we don't have to tie our shoes.
Next thing you know, you're gonna have zippers.
Boy, if those guys in 1800 had the foresight to come up with all the lazy man's inventions that we take for granted today.
I like to think of the first guy that did stand in front of a set of stairs and goes, you know, these stairs are great, but if they moved on their own, sure would be a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, a lot of sports to talk about. Last night was game one of the Stanley Cup Final, and it was in Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay thought that, well, at least they'd perhaps go into overtime, but at the last minute, Antoine Vermette of the Western Conference Chicago Blackhawks scored with about a minute left in the game, and Chicago stole one on the road.
Yeah.
That's got to put some shivers in the spines of Tampa Bay Lightning players and fans.
I'm sure it does. I mean, to go down 1-0 at home, that's rough.
You lose your home ice advantage, just like that.
I saw a headline for a biting incident. Did somebody get bit or bite somebody else?
No, I don't know. But if they did and they bled and they lost a piece of their body, they were probably back out on the ice on their next shift.
That's right. That's just hockey, isn't it?
Yeah, not like those silly basketball and football players. Speaking of basketball, aren't the finals, even though there's only one of them, getting started tonight?
All the finals are tonight.
All of them?
The NBA finals are tonight.
Yes. And all of them feature two teams.
That's right. Yeah. The tip off is at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at Oracle Arena in Oakland.
Yeah.
Oaktown in the NBA finals. It's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors.
Good matchup.
Golden State Warriors are the higher seeded team, so they have home court advantage in a sense in this series. And they're laying 5.5 points to LeBron James and the Cavs.
No kidding.
So they are favored right out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. That's something. That is saying something. One player gets a hangnail and can't play for a couple of games, and it changes everything.
Yeah, and I guess in Cleveland's case, they don't have Kevin Love. Kyrie Irving is battling through some injuries, so some of their star players. But you still have LeBron James.
Yeah, and
you never know what's
going to
happen.
He's the X factor. He could take it over and score 60 points in a game, and their team wins.
Yeah. And he really is an X factor, and I guess on Golden State side, you got one of their players, Klay Thompson, did get a concussion in their last game of their series prior.
But he most recently tested symptomless.
Yeah, he should be fine. I just remember they cleared him for the game, and then he started like bleeding out of his eyeballs and ears, and they were like, we better retest
you. Yeah, you know what? A puck skimmed off the top of my head once. I didn't catch an edge, but it skimmed off the top of my head, and I was dizzy, more or less, for about 6 months.
Was it a full-on, like, hardcore slap shot?
Oh, yeah, it came in hard. It came in hot.
Into the announcer's booth?
Yeah, and it skimmed off the top of my head and landed in the penalty box to my left, the home penalty box. But, I was clearly concussive and showing symptoms, but minor. But the kind of thing where if somebody touched me on my head,
you'd have been like, oh, that's soft.
It's tender.
Don't do that.
It's like a weird thing.
A hockey puck may be the worst of all sports objects to take in the face, I would imagine.
Yeah, it'll take some teeth.
I'd take a football or a basketball or maybe even a baseball hot off the bat might hurt pretty bad, too.
In basketball, you got to worry about unkempt fingernails going up your nose or in your eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
In your eyes. You know, these guys get corneas sliced all the time. Didn't Kobe get a sliced cornea?
Yeah, probably. I feel like that's a real common basketball injury because you're just in there hand battling everybody all the time. You're going to catch one in the eye and in the nose.
And these guys, they don't shower on purpose so that they stink and it makes it hard to guard
them.
Oh,
that's gross. Who told you that?
No, they do all of those things. And they don't wash their hands and they've got, you know, like gunk from the parking lot.
I know they don't change their socks and their jocks because those are lucky.
Yes.
You don't change those until you lose and then you can change them.
The sweaty, stinky guy is always the hardest guy to guard.
Yeah, right. It is because you don't want to touch him.
It's a strategy to have bad hygiene in the NBA.
I had not heard of that strategy until now.
But doesn't it make sense?
It does. Thank you for enlightening me.
All right, good. Are we finished with basketball now?
We are.
All right.
Do you want to go to football?
Yeah, there's something new and big technology-wise. By the way, our tech guy is going to be on in our next hour. He's got some great stories to talk about, but this is one that I bet he didn't think about.
Yeah, and if he hasn't, I'd love to tell him about it and hear what his opinion is. The National Football League has chosen Yahoo as the first platform that will globally stream a professional football game live and for free.
You would have thought it would have been YouTube.
YouTube, Google. I guess YouTube is a Google.
Yes,
it's
Google
under
property.
The Google property.
You
right?
would have thought that YouTube would have the muscle to make that happen, but Yahoo.
Well, maybe YouTube wasn't willing to pony up as much dough as Yahoo was.
Oh, it was a dough deal.
Sort of. There's a few things that go on. The NFL announced this a couple of months ago that they wanted to do this. They wanted to get into live streaming, and they had some rules. They wanted to have a platform that could handle the streaming, could handle that many people tuning into it, and Yahoo's one of those sites that has really probably a billion viewers across all of its platforms.
Yeah.
And they also paid $20 million for the rights to stream it.
Yeah, that's beer money for Yahoo.
They get exclusive rights for all the advertising during the game, though. So they pay $20 million. You figure they're probably going to receive more than $20 million back in advertising, right, Phil?
Yeah.
Good business move?
Sure, I would think so.
So I guess maybe YouTube just didn't want to outbid them. Although $20 million, it's not much for either of those companies.
Quick thought on football. The Washington Redskins, they're still called that, aren't they?
I refuse to call them that, but they
is that your stance?
That's still their name.
Is that your stance?
No, not really.
Okay.
That whole thing died real quick, didn't it?
It sure did.
Maybe it'll come back this season.
It might, because there's still the groups that want to change that.
Yeah.
And they'll just wait for their chance, and they'll bring it up
again. I told you, let's call them the Washington Senators.
Just like the...
Or any politicians, anything. I wanted something D.C.-related.
Yeah.
The Washington politicians.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, the Washington football team, who currently is called the Redskins,
okay,
tried to get Andre the Giant to try out to be a defensive lineman back in 1975. Did you know that? He turned them down, but he was a big deal. 75, he was a big deal in wrestling already, was he not?
Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah. I don't know. Was he in WWF, as it was called back then, in 1975? That's a good question. I know he was a big deal in the 80s.
Yeah, real big deal. That was Jake the Snake's time, too, and Hulk Hogan. And
Yeah. Slim Jim, what was his name?
Snap into a Slim Jim. That's...
Randy Savage. Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah, all those guys.
The Golden Age.
Exactly.
We like to call it. I think Vince was around then, too. Vince McMahon is still running it.
The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy was a stud.
Yeah, all right. Another little thing, celebrity note. Arnold Schwarzenegger made $21,429. For every word he said in Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
What?
For every word. But here's the thing. He only had 700 words. He only uttered that many in that movie.
I'll be back.
Usually two or three word or syllable sentences at a time. And he made $15 million. So when you do the math, $15 million divided by 700 comes out to $21,429 per word.
Come with me if you want to live. Sarah Connor, get down.
That's like $100,000,
right?
Right.
How much money did I just make?
Somebody you made $100,000.
Wow.
One, two, three, four. Sarah Carter, Connor, get down. That's four. That's almost $100,000.
That's it. Making money now.
Yeah. Bank. Making Arnold bank.
Wonder what we made on the last Terminator movie.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's it for hour one of this program. There's so much more to come, including the romantic side of Floyd Mayweather. Ladies, we've tallied up the value, and there's a fortune worth of junk in your purse. And your garage door is not secure, so says our tech guy, Jeremy Antacuni, who will be with us in our second hour. Those stories and more coming up right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, the nine worst things you can order at a chain restaurant. You won't believe what's on your toothbrush. It's absolutely disgusting. And that stuff that's on your toothbrush, it's not even yours. And Jeremy Antacuni, our tech dude, joins us with The new place, they're taking that little car with the Google Street View camera on top of it. And it's not a place where we recommend you drive your car. Chris Martin is here. There's two of us friends in the studio, me and Chris. And you, our best friend, listening to the program. Thank you for that. Let's get this hour rolling now. And Chris, speaking of places where you probably don't want to go, the bottom of the ocean is a place where you will find all the crap that people just leave on the beach, and then the waves come up and they get it, and where they toss it off the pier or off a boat. I mean, people don't respect the planet, and they just toss their stuff all over the place, leave their soiled Pampers on the beach, all that kind of stuff, or put it down the drain in the street, and it washes right out into the ocean. Isn't that right?
They do. You know, sometimes purposefully and sometimes on accident. You know, a big windstorm comes through and it could push all kinds of garbage out into the ocean.
Or it rains a lot too, right?
Or if it rains a lot, it's going to grab everything that's in the streets and in your yards. It's going to sweep it into the sewage channels, storm channels.
They need a vacuum cleaner or something to clean up the bottom of the ocean, don't they?
Well, Phil, the bottom of the ocean is not what we're talking about cleaning here. The bottom of the ocean might remain unkempt, and hopefully we'll just deteriorate everything and sort of cycle it back into the water that cycles itself out.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it does.
But there is a young 22-year-old Dutch kid that is leading a very ambitious ocean cleanup effort. And matter of fact, it's so ambitious, he's raised $2 million in crowdfunding already, which is pretty impressive.
$2 million?
For a youngster like that, 20 years old. He says that the ocean has 8 million tons of plastic a year dumped into it. And this young man, Boyan Slat, wants to place enormous floating barriers and rotating tidal locations around the world called gyres.
Gyres?
Yeah, this is where. So what's going to happen is all this floating waste, this floating debris, will be naturally captured, not with floating nets. It's not going to cast nets down underneath the water because what happens with nets, animals get caught in them.
Sure.
These are big V-shaped buffers anchored by floating booms, and it'll just collect all the stuff that is floating on top of the ocean, riding around on the current. They're giant V-shaped structures.
Yeah.
So they cover hundreds and thousands of yards across the ocean surface.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Skeptics say most debris doesn't float, though. It deteriorates and goes to the bottom, so this might not be a super great solution.
Smart young kid.
Sure.
Impressive.
A lot of people backing him. If you get a chance to check him out, check out his structures.
His structures. What are they called? Doys?
Yeah, gyres. G-Y-E-R-S.
Gyres, okay.
Gyres.
All right. Hey, that Floyd Mayweather, you know the boxer, Floyd Mayweather Jr., he beat Manny Pacquiao not too long ago. He's undefeated and just a force to be reckoned with in the ring, and we don't know how much longer there is left in his career, but sounds to me like he's a romantic guy who just wants to settle down.
Yeah, but who doesn't? Who isn't looking for
at some point or another
to settle down with?
You want to punch your ticket and settle down with the right life partner.
Yeah, and Floyd thought that he had his life partner, his ex-girlfriend, he was proposing to, and he proposed to her via text message, and of course those text messages get out because that's how society works now.
Yeah.
So here's what he said in an attempt to get his girlfriend to marry him. "This is what I offer to you. Let's get married, move in together. You can go back and forth to L.A. and stay at the condo. I promise I will get you 3 A-list movies this year. And I'm willing to go to counseling to make it work, and you can get the stuff you want, and I'm willing to change, but I need you to have a better attitude."
Wow.
Do you just melt? Don't you want to say yes after receiving
that 12 long stem roses and a box of chocolates? Pretty much as romantic as it gets.
Oh, that's top of the heap. That is just gentlemanly right there. It does go on. There's one more set because the young lady did not respond with a yes to his request. So he followed with things like this. "I had your phone traced. I hired a detective. Wow. You're not slick.
Wow.
I got nasty videos of you too that I can put on Instagram and Twitter."
This is his proposal for marriage.
This is right after, I believe, she said no or didn't say yes.
Or I think what she said was, "What?"
And then he followed up with, "I took you from rags to riches. Now you're going back to rags. Beep."
Wow.
"That's why you're out selling. Beep. Going on pretty auditions, fronting to people like you're Anyway, it goes on to call her more terrible names. I guess she's dating.
And all of this stuff is public.
She's dating Nelly now.
He did all of this and it got into Twitter somehow.
He sent the text messages to her.
Yeah.
She is filing a lawsuit against him.
Yeah.
And part of it is her releasing the information
Holy
of how he
mackerel.
Has treated her.
Yeah. Let's hope they never do get together and marry, because that is about as dysfunctional as possible, and somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure whoever these two people do end up with, it's going to be a dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I think all of a sudden they're going to find somebody that's going to...
Here's a distraction for Floyd, and what's his lovely ex-girlfriend's name?
Let's see here. Her name is Chantel Jackson.
Chantel Jackson. It would have been so much better if her first name was Jackson.
Beautiful girl, by the way.
Okay.
Looks a little bit actress. Like Kim Kardashian.
Actress, yeah.
Or wants to be, yeah.
All right, here's a diversion. A group called the Center for Science in the Public Interest, you've heard of them. They just put out their annual list of the worst things you can order at chain restaurants, meaning things that have the most calories and are bad for you. You want the top nine?
Sure.
Red Lobster's create your own combo. You get three entrees, French fries, a salad, and biscuits. The least healthy combination you can go with is coconut shrimp, Walt's favorite shrimp, and linguine Alfredo with shrimp, which has 2,710 calories.
That is weak.
Yeah, starting at the top, working our way down, because this is stuff that you want to eat. The three-meat plate with free ice cream at Dickie's Barbecue Pit. If you go with the Polish sausage, pork ribs, and beef brisket, it's 2,500 calories.
Oh, so the calories are getting less now?
Yeah, I'm going in the opposite direction, because we always go the other way and we end with the biggie.
Yeah.
I thought I would be edgy.
Okay.
The herb-roasted prime rib at Outback Steakhouse is 2,400 calories. Louisiana chicken pasta at the Cheesecake Factory, $23.70.
Okay.
The two for $12 pick and choose at Uno Pizzeria and Grill. If you get a personal pan pizza with the baked ziti and sausage pasta, is $21.90.
How many calories do you think you can put down in a single setting, Phil?
$5,000.
Yeah. I would say I'm somewhere in there.
Yeah. I'm thinking backyard pizza, barbecue, you know, buffet, potluck, all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Plenty of liquid to wash it down.
Yeah.
And plenty of time. No time limit. You just say an hour or two.
Or maybe
like
over
that.
The course of 5 hours, you're going to do 8,000 or 9,000 calories.
Right.
Yeah. At a party. Backyard party.
That's what we call doing work.
That's right. Pineapple upside down master blast at Sonic. 2,020 calories. 32 ounces of vanilla shake with salted caramel, whipped cream, and little pieces of pie crust. They have a chorizo fiesta omelet at IHOP.
That sounds delicious.
It does. It's 1,990 calories. And then Cheesecake Factory's in here again with the warm apple crisp and steak and shake, 7x7 steak burger and fries. Those are the nine right there.
How much do you think a full cheesecake goes for? Because I've polished one of those off before.
Have you? Yeah. Just rub it all over yourself. Hey, coming up for sure this time, I teased it earlier, but I was lying. Finally, next, you get to find out what made Manny the Movie Guy scream like a little girl here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. And it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the guy you want on your camping trip when your pup tent is attacked by a herd of hungry chipmunks. It's KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. I have power against chipmunks. Trust me.
All right. That statement there that I just made will come more into focus a little later in our conversation, Manny. But for the time being, let's talk about the movies that are out this weekend.
Sure.
Melissa McCarthy is back with what looks to me to be a twist on a movie she's done three times already.
Right? Well, no.
No?
You may be wrong. This one is actually closer to Bridesmaids, and because, let me first tell you, I love Spy. Director Paul Feig reteams with his Bridesmaids breakout star, Melissa McCarthy, for this comedy delight. The plot is pretty simple. McCarthy, Susan Cooper, she's a desk-bound CIA analyst, but really, she's the unsung hero behind the agency's most dangerous missions. But soon, she must stop a global crisis from happening by going undercover to infiltrate the world of deadly arms dealer. The cast is great. There's Jude Law. He's a pretty boy spy. Rose Byrne, I love her, as a Bulgarian nuclear arms dealer. And Jason Statham, as what else? A macho agent.
Yeah.
The fantastic Allison Janney is also there, as Susan's tough-as-nails boss. Now remember, Feig gave McCarthy her first ever Oscar nomination with Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
A tough thing to do for comedies. These two work wonders together, and Spy is a perfect example.
Is there some significance, Manny, to all the billboards for the movie that she's completely spray-painted gold?
Yes, that, without giving the plot away, she does more stuff other than being painted gold.
Oh, okay.
And just like Bridesmaids, by the way, this one is a raunchy, rated R comedy with a great big heart at its center. And it's really because of their partnership, Feig and McCarthy herself. I even want to go as far as saying that this is one of my favorite films of the year.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
I enjoyed this film. This and Mad Max, if you're taking some notation, this and Mad Max Fury are my two favorites so far this year.
How about that? Okay, we'll take note, and we'll see if they get awards, either of them. Now, however, I'm just thinking that Entourage is going to dominate the box office this weekend.
Really? I think that it's really just for the fans at heart.
Oh.
You're right. It's another comedy out in theaters, but this one does not have a great big heart nor that much laughter like Spy. Now, seriously, I walked out of the theater with nary a smile on my face.
Nary a smile?
Entourage is a movie made strictly for fans who love the show, and if you're a fan, you will have a blast spotting previous guest characters from the show, from the HBO show, and it even has a lot of cameos. Even Liam Neeson shows up. But what didn't show up is a structured plot that will gain new fans. This one ended abruptly, and you're ushered out of the theater hoping for a better movie. Simply put, I wasn't impressed. This one is truly Sex in the City for the bros.
For the bros.
For the bros.
Wow. I'm still stuck on that flashback you threw me to 1980s and the new romantic scene. There was a band called Nary a Smile, wasn't there?
Oh, there was?
No, there wasn't.
I was born in 1990.
Wow, look at you. You're just a kid. You're just
That's
a kid.
Hi.
And you're on TV. Insidious Chapter 3 looks like it'll scare the pants off of you.
I screamed like a little girl.
Yeah, actually, you know, when I said it'll scare the pants off of you, I meant you, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. You know, The Further Where Demons Live is back. I don't know if you're familiar with the show or with the movie, but, you know, they always go into The Further. That's a realm where darkness rules.
Yeah.
And it's back. And I went into The Further experience. Did you post that video of me?
Well, you know what? Hold on just a second, Mr. Scaredy Pants, because we did on our show fun page. And I just want to give an example of what it sounds like when Manny the Movie Guy screams like a little girl. So sit there and be quiet for a second so everybody can hear it. Go ahead. What in the world is going on with you?
Wait, that's inside. Okay, what happened was when I did the interviews for Insidious, right across from the hotel is this makeshift truck and it's inside. They call it the Insidious 4D experience. They put some 3D or 4D stuff on your head. You see some scenes, and at the same time, you're also experiencing it around you.
Oh, you're wearing one of those Oculus Rift goggle helmets, aren't you?
Yes, I was, and it was creepy. And really, the movie, much like I did when I saw the movie, I screamed as well. No wonder Focus Features, of course, used the quote saying I screamed like a little girl. But really, honestly, and truthfully, big credit goes to writer Lee Whannell directing his full feature film for the first time. The premise is very simple. This one is a prequel set before the haunting of the Lambert family from the first Insidious. We meet Quinn, wonderfully played by Stephanie Scott. She's being haunted by a dangerous supernatural entity. Dermot Mulroney plays the father, and my favorite medium, Elise, is back. She's played by Lynn Shea, and really, I'm glad that she's the main lead, an older female kick-bootying character.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. Something's coming in from the other realm. What is it?
That is so. I didn't. You know what? Honestly, I didn't know that there was a camera in there. If I had known, I would probably have butchered it up a bit.
Sounded like somebody tagged you with a taser.
Yeah. I must say though, you get extra points for style because you're dressed up like royalty. I must say.
Thanks.
And they've got you in kind of a throne too. The chair that you're sitting.
I had to wear my my cross though, and thanks to Madonna, that's a cross by Madonna.
All right. Very good. So one of the best movies of the year is Spy. That's what we've learned.
And Entourage, really, honestly, I mean, you know, watch it if you're a fan. If not, you can wait for it on DVD. And Insidious Chapter 3,
yeah.
Whether if you're a fan, whether if you like horror movies, this one's for you.
And wear your adult diapers. That's
and
what
wear, correct. Yeah. I didn't wear mine, and things happened.
And now look. Okay. ManyTheMovieGuy.com, and visit our show fun page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com if you'd like to see the full screaming video of Manny in all his glory. Thank you, Manny. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much. See you guys next week.
Right.
Which one of those are you going to go see, Phil?
None of them.
If you had to choose between the three.
If I had to choose, if I were still a movie-going guy, chances are I would see Entourage.
That's the one I would see also.
Yeah.
And I watched Entourage on HBO.
Yeah.
I think it was on HBO.
Well, it's President Obama's favorite TV show.
Is it really?
That's what he said.
There's one thing him and I have in common.
There you go. All right. Up next, if you were driving around one of those Google cars with the camera on it,
mm-hmm.
you want to keep your
the Google Earth cars, right?
Yeah, the Google Earth. You'd want to, well, the Street View guy. You'd want to keep your four tires on terra firma on the ground, wouldn't you?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Although, don't you need some aerial photos too?
Yeah, I think so. But there's something strange, and our tech guy is coming up in just a little bit. I'm going to tell you about that in a second, but. Here's a disturbing story. This is not tech, but we all have toothbrushes, right?
Hopefully. I don't know if over in the UK they all do, but...
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you're done in the bathroom, you know, and you flush the toilet, and it's one of those, you know, the number two. Apparently, the water shoots tons of tiny feces particles into the air.
Oh, that's just lovely.
So now your toothbrush is probably sitting there on the sink or in a cup or something like that. Or if it's not locked away in the medicine chest, it's out there in the open for all of these feces particles. And not just yours, but when your friends and family and party animals come over to visit your place and they're flushing up a storm. And yes, it does land on your toothbrush. And then you put it in your mouth. This is a new study out of Quinnipiac University in Connecticut. They tested toothbrushes and found 55% of the toothbrushes they tested had feces on their bristles. And enough to easily make you sick.
Hmm.
Are you sick yet? And the more people you share your bathroom with, the more likely it is that their feces are on your toothbrush. And their feces is not necessarily more dangerous than yours.
Yeah, people don't seem to be getting very sick often because of this phenomenon.
Well, perhaps we are in a constant state of sickness, and we just take it in stride.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel...
We're constantly ingesting things with tiny...
Yeah, you feel a little... after you eat something. Maybe it's not the food. Maybe it's your toothbrush.
Hmm. Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
So
what should you do to avoid all of this? One, close the toilet lid before you flush. That helps, some of it.
And two, figure out a better place to store your toothbrush, whether it's in the medicine cabinet, a drawer, or all the way back into your bedroom somewhere.
You can't wait to close the toilet lid until after you're done and then flush, because that means you're not courtesy flushing, and that's not courteous.
That's true.
You wait until you're done. That thing's...
When you do the courtesy flush, you do have some a sort of vacuum seal on the toilet seat, don't you?
There's something covering the top of it, and you hope it's going to take down some of the scent.
That's the time. And then there's those who like to stand there and watch it swirl around when it's flushing down.
Would you be one of those people,
I
Phil?
I am not. But
you're just not admitting to it.
There are those who feel a sense of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a salute as you're watching it go down the drain.
Right. See you later. Job well done.
All right. What else? Is there anything else? Of course, we can just end the show now.
Yeah, we've done our poop story.
Yeah, we have. All right, I've got other stuff, but we'll get to it. Jeremy Antecuni is one of our friends. He's our tech guy, and he's got stuff that will boggle your mind, and that's coming up next right here on the program. In the meantime, enjoy our theme song. Have you had a chance to listen to it carefully? Here, check this out. Right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Okay, time to talk tech here on the program. And joining us is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Jeremy. I take it you're traveling today.
I am. One of my friends invited me to game one of the NBA Finals, so I'm here in Oakland this afternoon.
Wow. How about that? Are you doing the old Uber thing?
I'm not, actually. He is driving, and we're navigating ourselves around, trying to find something to eat before we head over to the stadium.
Good, because I was worried there for a minute that you would get a creepy Uber driver, and he'd knock you on the head and drag you to the Crystal Meth Motel.
Yeah, there are quite a few of those, so I try to avoid those creepy
Who are you taking drivers. To win the game, Jeremy?
The Warriors, man.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, he's a NoCal guy. Well, he's a Central and NoCal. He goes back and forth.
No, yeah. Fair enough. I'm a fan of the Warriors. I got nothing against it.
C-Cal, NoCal. C-Cal, NoCal. Back and forth. Yeah. All right. It's a C shift. So earlier this week, Jeremy, I believe it was Chris here in the studio, who brought up the fact that Apple was going to come up with a subscription music program, and we'd love to find out more about it from you.
Well, the Worldwide Developer Conference is going to kick off next week, and as you know, Apple has revolutionized many industries. They're not always the first player in a particular market segment, but when they do enter a particular market, they shake things up. Personal computers, music when the iPod was released, smartphones with the iPhone. Well, they're looking to do it again with music, and reportedly they're going to be launching a streaming music service to compete with Spotify and Pandora. And they've been hiring DJs, celebrity DJs, and they're going to be taking a curated approach to music. Supposedly going to cost about $10 a month and will include both radio-like stations where a curated feed of music will be played for you and also the ability for you to listen to whatever tracks that you want to, similar to Spotify and some of the other music services.
Right, so there might be a Dr. Dre Beats channel.
Yes, you know, of course, they haven't done a whole lot with Beats since they made that acquisition other than continuing to sell headphones. But Beats Music is a music service that has been out there, and I think they're looking to leverage their experience with that as well as the iTunes Music Store.
Yeah, it won't be long before we have a similar play from Google Play, I would imagine, and maybe Microsoft.
And Samsung. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
As Apple blazes the path.
Yeah. All right. Now, pretty much everybody these days has a garage door opener. And
they do.
They work off of a little radio signal, don't they?
They do. And most people don't realize it, but the average garage door is completely insecure. Not only are they pretty flimsy and it's pretty easy to physically, you know, brute force your way in, there's actually ways to hack into them. Now, a security researcher named Sammy Kankar has hacked a Mattel toy. It's a discontinued instant messaging device that Mattel used to put out, and he's hacked it so that it's able to send out 4,000 combinations to garage door codes. Since they only use a 12-bit code, there's very few combinations. And he's able to actually brute force a garage door open in less than a minute. So the question is, how many of you actually lock your interior door before when you leave through the garage?
We do. And also on my garage door, there's an extra feature on the inside button where you manually start the opener. There's a button that blocks the radio signal so that you cannot use a remote control to open the garage door.
Well, I think that's a pretty cool feature. And I think that newer garage doors are going to be less susceptible to this as they implement things called rolling codes and have a stronger encryption on the codes. But certainly for older garage doors and even the new garage door that this individual had at his home that was just built was affected by this. So certainly do lock your interior door if you do have one.
So we got these guys with the garage doors. We got the other guys who could turn your lights on and off from outside because you have your smart home, right?
That's right.
All of that's hackable, isn't it?
Isn't a connected life wonderful?
It is. It is. You know, we love when the Google Earth or, I don't know, the Street View guy, whatever, the guy from Google in the car with the funny globe-looking camera on the ceiling of the car, when he drives up the street, everybody gets excited, and they get into strange positions on the corner of the street, hoping that they get into Google Street View or into Google Earth, pretending to have sex in public. And right? I mean, people get excited when they see the car coming, and they want somehow to get in the picture. But
They do.
But in this case, you're going to have to put on your bathing suit or perhaps your scuba gear if you want to follow the car.
That's right. They have gone all over the world. They started, of course, by documenting streets and roadways. They then moved on to business interiors. They even sent trekkers out into the Grand Canyon and up Mount Everest. They've collected 20 petabytes of data. They've covered 5 million miles in 3,000 cities.
Is a peta a thousand gigas?
It's a lot of bytes.
Okay.
And so they've been storing just a tremendous amount of data, and of course they are not done on their quest to document the world. Now they're sending their cameras underwater. They've documented 40 underwater locations, including Bali and the Great Barrier Reef. You can check out a sea turtle in the Solomon Islands, a humpback whale in the Cook Islands, and even great white sharks in Australia. So should be very, very cool to see all of these great underwater environments through Street View.
Wow. Okay. Now, I meant to say a peta. You know, peta is probably 1,000 tera, because a tera is 1,000 giga.
Right. Yes.
And so forth.
Big bites.
Yeah.
Big,
it sure.
Big bites.
And this doesn't bite at all. It sounds exciting. When can we start looking at this?
I think that it is live now. So if you head out there, you should be able to take a look.
Oh, all right. Very good. Always fascinating to hear from you, and enjoy your trip in the Bay Area. And okay, fine. Let's get the championship here in California. Right?
Why not?
Go Warriors!
Bring it home.
Yeah. When's the last time we had one here? It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Well, the Lakers won one not too long ago.
Yeah, it's been at least 4 years.
Yeah, maybe. But the Warriors, it's been 40 years.
40 years. Yeah. That would be something. All right. Jeremy, we count you amongst our friends, and always great to hear from you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Fun as always. Talk to you then.
All right. There he goes. And he's safe from those lecherous Uber drivers, at least this time around.
Mm-hmm. And he's off to what a great event, man. Going to see game one of the finals.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Look for him. I bet I forgot to ask him. Dang. He probably,
what he looks like?
He probably, no, I know what he looks like. There's a picture of him on our website.
Is there?
Yes.
I'm going to have to look
right next
up.
To the picture of you. No, not right next to you, but he's under the frequent contributors page.
Okay.
Well, you didn't know we had one of those. You need to visit the website once in a while.
I go straight to the fun page. That's where I go.
What I forgot to ask him is where his seats are, because something tells me he's got good seats.
Well, a high roller like Jeremy, I'm saying courtside.
Yeah.
Right behind the players.
Well, good combination. High roller and connected.
Right. Yes.
So he's probably right there on the front row.
And he doesn't share it much here on the program, but he is a legit hacker. And so he probably found his way in the back door of StubHub and got himself some floor side seats.
I bet he did. And he could probably open your garage door.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll just do it with a crowbar. He'll do it the old-fashioned way.
Strong arm it.
That's it.
All right, ladies. Look inside your purse. Up next on the program, we're going to put a dollar value to all the junk that's in there, okay? And you will not believe the fortune you have inside there. We'll go through it next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're like finding a paper clip at the bottom of your purse. You're going to work at it and work at it, and when you finally find it, it is so worthwhile. Isn't that right? Welcome back to the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Chris and is here, and I'm here. I'm Phil. And since you probably don't carry much cash anymore, you might think someone would be disappointed if they stole your purse. You would be wrong. It turns out that the average woman is carrying almost $5,000 worth of stuff with her at all times.
Jeez, on average?
On average. The most expensive things are a smartphone, another gadget like an iPod or a Kindle. Okay, so there you've got like $1,500 already, right?
Okay.
Face value.
Yeah.
Right? Sunglasses, and ladies, you know you're not going to the Kmart and buying the $3 sunglasses.
No, it's Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, and what you could spend, you could drop $400 or $500 on a pair of sunglasses, right?
Easily.
Yeah. A makeup bag. The mm-hmm. bag itself is worth money. The makeup, and holy crap, ladies, there some guy's digging up some dirt in his backyard and adding some color to it, and you're putting it on your face. Maybe they sprinkle some emollients in there. Those emollients are pricey. But then they slap a name on there, like Mark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that one of the brands? And then they charge you for a little cup of like an ounce and a half of that dirt. They'll charge you $120.
I've heard that makeup powder comes from the dust of pixies.
Well, then, maybe you'll pay $300 for that pixie dust.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rare.
And the purse itself, come on now, $2,000-$3,000 for a purse.
Right, especially if it's like Coach.
Yeah.
Just throw that out there because it's the only purse name I know.
And there's the other one.
This yeah.
Got a Y in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Vandy?
No, not Vandy.
Isn't there one that starts with a V, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm being Louis Vuitton?
I'm being corrected.
Louis Vuitton?
The powder, the ounce and a half of powder?
Yeah.
You slap the name Mac on there, not Mark.
But yeah.
Mac.
Mm-hmm. Is yeah. Mac still popular? I feel like that's antiquated.
Oh, I don't know. No. But, hey, let's come up with something and price it, like, through the roof, and it'll probably be popular.
Yeah, I like your idea of just digging up dirt.
Yeah.
Coloring it up a little bit.
But then let's not hurt the ladies. We don't want to cause any kind of skin disease.
No, we get dirt on us all the time.
Yeah.
Grow up learning God made dirt and dirt don't hurt.
All right. Let's see. Okay.
There. So an expensive bag, and the bag itself is expensive and everything yeah. in it, and you see a lot of those women with bags, they're carrying everything but a lamp inside there. It's
That's
amazing
true.
What they
yeah.
fit in there.
Well, why not? You know, if you're away from home, you might as well bring your stuff. For guys, why don't we bring all our stuff? We just, what are we thinking? We just have our wallet with a credit card, some money, and maybe a couple of cards with some names on them, and our keys, our car keys, and nothing else. And maybe we've got a beer opener on our key fob, right?
You think maybe our thought is, and we'll buy it.
Or we can...
just buy it when we get there.
Or we can make it with our hands.
Right. We'll buy it or build it. One of the two.
Now, speaking of phones, we know our phones are important to us these days. How far into a road trip would you turn around if you forgot your phone?
3/4.
Yeah. A new survey found that 78% of people would turn around even if they'd already been driving half an hour. 48% would turn around if they'd been at it for a full hour. They didn't dig any deeper than that. I think they probably should have. Would you, on a five-hour trip and you're 4 hours into it, I forgot my phone. Would you turn around?
Probably not. I said three quarters. That's close to it. That's 80% of the way, but it's probably around half. If you're halfway,
yeah,
maybe at that point you turn around. If not,
yeah,
buy a rental or something.
Right. A rental phone.
Well, don't phone companies have provisions for that now to where you can get a temporary phone and maybe patch into your contacts?
You're right, though. You could go into the 7-Eleven, okay? And they sell phones there for $49, and you're good for the month.
Yeah, it's like a Cricket or Go phone.
Yeah, and it's not bad. I mean, that's the kind of phone to get on the vacation. And if you pay attention now, when you watch the spy movies on TV, the TV shows, what's that TV show with the dude?
That TV show with the dude?
Yeah, you
know
the one?
About, it's a spy movie?
It's a
spy show?
It's a spy show.
With the dude.
With the dude. You know, it's a famous show. It's on NBC, and he's his name is Red on the show.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Starts with a P.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Somebody pull this up.
The Blacklist.
Blacklist.
It starts with a P. I told you. The Blacklist.
The Blacklist.
Anyway, watch that show or any other spy show, and they're not using smartphones. They've got little flip phones that they buy at 7-Eleven. And they make the phone call, and then they throw the phone away because that way they're not being traced to any kind of phone account.
Right? Yeah, little disposables. It's almost like you get them out of the gumball machine.
So if you want to go underground a little bit on your vacation, that's the way to do it.
Get yourself a disposable phone.
Yeah.
Hide out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think a lot of these celebrities would do that end up getting caught with all their nefarious activities.
Why not? Taking pictures of themselves, you know, with their clothes off?
Just go get a temp phone.
Cut it out. Hey, wasn't there something you wanted to ask Manny the movie guy about?
Well, I saw that they're going to be remaking the National Lampoon's Family Vacation movie. Were you a fan of that movie?
You know what? I should be because the entire planet is, and I've never seen it.
It was massive. It came out in 1983, and it had a cult following. Chevy Chase takes his family to Wally World, and really, really well-written comedy. And they're remaking it. Of course, it's reboot time, right? What are we? 1983, that's 22 years. Yep, that's about time. Is it 22 years? Something along those lines. 1983 is 22 years, yes?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, right.
And they've got Ed Helms, which Ed Helms is the name of the guy. Is my math wrong? Ed Helms is the name of the guy that was in The Hangover.
Yeah.
And also The Office. Who knew his name was Ed Helms? But he seems really
Ed Helms?
Successful and
Which
popular,
guy?
Right?
Which guy in The Office?
The guy with the glass. I can't remember his name, but in The Hangover, he plays a somewhat nerdy friend with the wife that nary will let him go. Anyway, his name's Ed Helms.
Yeah.
He's playing grown-up Rusty, who's taking his family to.
All right.
Yeah. He's taking his family to Wally World. Christine Applegate plays the wife and mother, a couple of sons. I saw the trailer. It looks pretty funny.
Yeah.
32 years, by the way, since...
32 years.
32 years.
A little slow today. And so Chevy Chase is an old man.
He is, and he's in the movie. He has a cameo in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, it shows up.
Plays somebody's grandpa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he plays the father of Wally. Wally's the son in the original.
All right.
32 years. Unbelievable. God, Chevy was old in that movie.
You know what I like? When people make a connection and they instantly do something, and then everybody else on the planet says, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
There's a lady. Her name is Jessie Dong, by the way. Just thought I'd say that. That's her name. She's in Rochester, New York. She just opened a Chinese restaurant. You know what she named it?
Dong's House?
No. It's called I Don't Know. You know why she called it I Don't Know? Because whenever she asks her kids where they want to go out for dinner, they say, I don't know.
Right.
What do you want for dinner? I don't know. So she named her restaurant I Don't Know.
That's a great idea.
Why didn't I think of that?
It's ingenious.
It is. What do you want to eat tonight? I don't know.
I believe that is what kids use as a response 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, take me to McDonald's or,
mm-hmm.
Taco Bell.
You know why they say that? It's the parents' fault. What in the world are you asking your little kids what they want for dinner, right? Why don't you just make the dinner and serve it to them?
Tell them what they're going to eat.
Sit down. Here's what we're eating for dinner.
By the way, I don't think kids want to go to McDonald's or Taco Bell nearly as much as they used to.
I don't think they do in general. It's one of those things that they just got used to because they think mom and dad want to take them there.
Mm-hmm.
They ultimately just want to make mom and dad happy. So if mom and dad think that it's easier than cooking up a meal, let's go to McDonald's.
You don't think that the playpen and the toy that they keep in the Happy Meal entices them?
I think they play in there because it's there. I don't think they're thinking about it a lick when they're at home or somewhere else.
They're not like, oh, I got to get back to the ball pit and the circular
slide.
That
place smells really bad. I can't wait.
Right, yes.
To dive in there
and
then get kicked in the face by some kid I never met before.
Right, and then get a fight in the ball pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have adult pits like that?
Well, I turn them into adult pits.
Do you?
Yeah. Who's going to stop you?
You're not allowed.
You better be pretty big if you're going to stop me from jumping in there.
I hope you bosses out there are listening because I could use some extra cash, you know, if I were working for you. Che Huang is the CEO of Boxed.com. Have you heard of that place? They sell stuff like toilet paper and laundry detergent in bulk, and then they mail it to you. And he recently decided to add a new perk for his employees. He's going to pay for all of their kids to go to college.
Wow.
He says he'll cover 4 years of tuition for each kid, and it doesn't matter what college they choose. There's no cap.
Huh.
So even if they need 60 grand a year to go to Harvard, he'll pay.
How many kids is he paying for?
All of them.
Well, how many is all of them? Does it give you an idea?
The money's coming out of his own pocket, and a few investors are pitching in, and he says he doesn't actually think of it as a perk. He just wants his employees to know he's committed to making sure their families are taken care of.
That's awesome.
And right now, the company has about 100 employees, and apparently most of them are pretty young because they only have a total of 12 kids.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money. 12 times 60 grand a semester.
Times 4 years or a semester. Yeah. Times
eight.
Four years times two. Yeah. Times eight. That's $100 million.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
It's like a gajillion dollars right there.
Anyway, obviously, as his workforce gets older and they start popping out more kids, it's going to change. So this is his thing. I don't know if he's going to ever go back on his word, but how about that for a boss?
That's cool. That's a righteous thing to do.
It certainly is.
It's a great incentive.
And it makes you think, okay, fine, you were going to go to junior college, now let's go to Harvard.
Yeah, it's like we offer health care, dental, and education care.
Oh, by the way, he doesn't offer health care.
Oh, well...
No, I'm kidding.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
I don't know what he's offering. I really don't.
It would be funny, though.
But it makes me want to shop at Boxed.com.
All right.
I don't mind mentioning the
place. I'm
going
to look him up, yeah.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends. You'll see a form there. We're on Twitter at Faf Show, PHAF. And Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail. You'll see the blue tab on the website. That's easy to do. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Chris Martin, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.